Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. So let's bring her out. The star attraction. The one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
In like 1995, in 1994, I actually went to America for the first time. Mm-hmm. And it was so crazy because I was in the middle of having literally a nervous breakdown.
Yes.
I was mad. And it was an incredible sort of like, you know, you take someone out of a terrible situation, you mm-hmm. fly them across. And on the way to get, the first time I'd ever been on a transatlantic flight, the first time I'd ever been in first class, I was...
What, and you were coming for?
I was coming to do... I'd voiced the horse in Black Beauty. Black mm-hmm. Beauty. I was Beauty. And I'd done it in London, and then it was coming out. And nowadays, you know, they're about to lock the picture, and there were some rewrites. Nowadays, you'd go into a studio in London, or you could even probably do it on your phone.
Yeah.
And put it down the line, HDM, no, whatever, HD, whatever, something like that. And in those days, you had to, like, fly you to
yes.
Hollywood and do it in the studio with
yeah.
them. So I did that, and I got on the plane. And do you know who Ruby Wax is?
Yeah.
She's Jewish.
I know. That's what I'm trying to get to. Okay. Sorry.
So she's this American comedian and writer, but she's really famous in Britain. And she used to have her own talk show and everything like that. So I got on the plane, and there she was going on the same flight to LA, but she was, because she was doing a show for the BBC, she was up the back. In coach.
Oh, she
and she was like,
coach.
She goes, where are you going? What's going on? And I said, oh, I'm the voice of this horse. And so I'm getting into going in first class. And she was going to do an interview with Tammy Faye Baker.
Oh my God.
For her talk show. And I remember when I saw the actual show that she did, she and Tammy Faye were standing in her bath singing, "If God makes you, God gives you a lemon, make some lemonade."
No way.
She got her to do that. So anyway,
No wonder she was sitting in coach.
I know, right? Oh. No, because it's the BBC. They don't let you go first class. Fair enough. But anyway, so I'm in the first class. Eating away, drinking. Oh, delicious. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, the ice flows. Oh, we're flying very low. I didn't know they did that. And then we get an announcement saying there's been someone on the plane who has taken ill, and we're doing an emergency landing in Reykjavik in Iceland.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, holy shit. And so we get off the plane, and there's this man, a gurney comes on, and this man is strapped to a gurney, gets taken off the plane.
Was he Jewish?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, you do it. You can do it.
He actually was.
He was? Yes,
I think he was.
Because only Jews get like sick on planes and then have to fucking, you know,
wait till you hear.
Stop so, and ruin so everyone's they, day. So they, yeah.
And Ruby was like, I said, what happened? He goes, well, you may be in first class, but I got Polaroids of the stiff. And she took Polaroids of the man being taken up. And she
he
also
was dead?
Wait.
Okay,
don't
sorry.
Don't up the story. No, but it's fine. But
okay.
And then she took Polaroids of people sleeping and everything like this and everything.
Yeah.
So then we're in Reykjavik Airport, just mucking about. Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, she and our film crew started filming us. And there was a thing, it was a plinth that had fossilized seagull poop on it as a souvenir of Reykjavik.
Seagull shit?
Yes.
Yeah.
So then we got...
I
don't know.
You're supposed to eat it? What are you supposed to do with it?
An ornament, you know, it's like a fossil. Anyways, yeah. Then we got on the plane and we went to Maine, Portland, Maine. And then, because then we're going to, you know, and then they said, but the pilots and everything have gone too long. We can't fly to LA now because they took the man off we mm-hmm. thought was dead.
Yeah.
And then they said, so we've got to stay the night in Maine. And I was like, oh my God, I've got to be in the studio in Hollywood tomorrow. And the picture locks on Friday. And what am I going to do? It's before cell phones and everything. Mm-hmm. And then because I was so worried, I got on the wrong bus that took you to the hotel. And I went to I was with Ruby's crew. So I went to like the economy class hotel. And Ruby miraculously got on my bus mm-hmm. and went to my swanky hotel.
No way.
Way.
Fuck you, Ruby.
And then I went out with the crew and I came back and I was like, we were in a skanky little hotel. And I went, are there any messages for me? And they were like, no. And then I thought, what am I going to do? I thought, well, you know, I'll just have to wait here and go on the plane tomorrow and blah, blah. Then all of a sudden, the phone rang in my room and they went, Alan, hi, it's blah, blah from, Warner Brothers. I hear you've had a little bit of trouble. I was like, yes, the plane crashed, you know, not crash landed, but emergency landed in Reykjavik. And a man had to get off and he wasn't there. I said, I'm getting on a plane tomorrow. I'm coming tomorrow. They're going to put us on a plane. He went, do not get on that plane. Look out of your window. There's a car waiting outside.
No way.
Waiting outside, like a spy film. So I got on this the car, got on the plane and went to LA that night. And then the next day. And
from Maine?
From Maine.
Wait.
Hollywood.
Wait.
And then...
You got in a car
to... No, a car. I got in a car to the airport.
But and you went on another flight. Were you on first?
Of course. And then... But it was...
there's a lot of Jews in first class, yeah.
And then what happened was... So long time later, I'm on Ruby's show with Martin Sherman, the writer who wrote Bent about Jewish people in the concentration camp. I mean,
what?
Gay people.
That never happened.
Gay people in the concentration camp. Olympia Dukakis.
Is she Jewish? She's Greek.
Oh.
But she plays a Jew a lot. Yeah. Okay, so let's do that. Okay.
And I hadn't seen Ruby for all this time. And she told me that when she went home after interviewing Tammy Faye Baker, she was having dinner with her husband and his father.
Is he Jewish?
Yes.
And the father?
Yes.
Okay.
And he said, what are you doing catching up? And he said, terrible. My friend Johnny was in some terrible time recently. And she goes, what happened? She goes, he was on some new pills from the doctor for his heart.
No,
he was on
a plane going
to America. Had a glass of wine. The next thing you know, he wakes up in a hospital in Reykjavik. And it was
father-in-law's best friend. That is unbelievable.
Isn't it crazy?
Wow.
Showbiz.
That's how you knew he was a Jew. Okay. That's amazing.
So that was my first time of coming to America. It was filled with torpor.
Right. You get to Hollywood. Are you like gobsmacked? Like, what do you, you know, because you go to LA or Hollywood for the first time, you see the sign, you see, you know,
Well, that time I wasn't really, I mean, the next time I went, I was like that because I was going with a film that was, you know, I was there to do press for a film. But when I went to do the thing for Black Beauty, I was just in such a state. And I and my friend Caroline, who wrote that, who directed the film, she had a little party for me because Eleanor Braun, who's this amazing English, Jewish actress, was there doing another film, and she'd played my mum when I did Hamlet. Mm-hmm. And so we had this little dinner, and that was really lovely. But I couldn't, I was in such a state of nervous breakdown. Mm-hmm. That it was actually a really good thing for me to be removed from my life.
Right.
For like 3 or 4 days. But at the time, I sat in my hotel room and just tried to keep it together.
Yeah.
But then like a year later, I did this movie called Circle of Friends, an Irish film, and when it opened in America, I came to do the press junket and the premiere. And that was like, you know, my first entree to Hollywood for real was like coming to promote a movie that I was in. And I remember on the red carpet at the premiere, I didn't know anything about all the different channels. And this lady said, did the interview, and she went, "Now, Alan, could you look down the lens and say, 'I'm Alan Cumming and I'm on E.'" And that, that meant I was on ecstasy.
Oh, God.
And I remember thinking, I can't say that. Why would I say that? And I remember I said to her, I said, "My mum might see this." Because I didn't even know that E was a channel.
When you got like all these agents and Hollywood people representing you, did you trust that? Like, you seem so not naive and yet so, you know, so innocent. You give off this innocence and yet you're so fucking smart,
well,
you know?
Sassy, but I mean, I think...
Yes, that is true.
I think what I did was like the first agent I got was recommended to me by my London agents.
Okay.
And it's this woman called Tracy Brennan, and she's been my agent ever since. So she's my main agent at CAA, and I have millions of other ones now, of course, but she's my main agent, and I really felt like when you meet a good person, mm-hmm. and then, you know, you've always got them to sort of,
right.
like my brother or something, you know, you or my mom, like you've got people in your life that you just know are good.
Right.
And then, you know, and I've had some tossers over the years, obviously, but I think that's the thing if you feel someone's got your back, then you can be a little sort of floaty.
Right.
Sort of. Flitty.
And you feel safe, you know.
And you feel safe, and I do, and I still do. Like and also now I'm older and more like, you know, I guess more powerful in that way. Mm-hmm. I just don't. If there's assholes on I get rid of them.
Right.
Just if there's people on my team, even like I actually fired. I've done this a couple of times. I'm with CAA. It's this big agency, and I sometimes thought I don't want that person on my team, so I fire them. But I still stay in the agency.
How do you fire them?
I say, I sort of talk to Tracy about it. And say that.
Oh, so you get her. You go say I can't work with this person. Yeah, or
Or I have managers now too. So, but like there was someone I thought was an asshole and was just kind of. Lost me a lot of money actually in this thing that was a misunderstanding. I just thought it was terrible the way he'd and I fired him, and I discovered he was the head of television at CAA. I thought, fuck you. I don't want you in my team. I just think I don't want bad energy around me in any way.
Right.
Even here at Club Cumming, you know, I think it's like really important to me that everyone feels that there's kindness here and everyone.
Oh my God, this place is like, it's magic. I'm not kidding.
So if there's either people, you know, people who are customers, if they're assholes, we ask them to leave.
Yeah.
Or if there's staff who are assholes, we ask them, we fire them.
Right.
I just think, you know, there's no need to.
Positive.
Yeah, positive, positive, and kindness.
You were married. You're one of the only people I know who has been legally married to a woman and legally married to a man.
Yes. And I thought it was funny. I thought me and Cynthia Nixon were the same, but she wasn't actually married to her.
Oh, she wasn't. And you know what? My kids went to Hebrew school with her kids. Oh, right. Oh, shit, this fucking thing. I hate it. Go. You know, you're bisexual, which you know, I just love.
What does that mean?
What is that? You're bisexual and unabashedly bisexual. You're married to a woman. Were you satisfied in that relationship? Did you? I mean, it. What was it? 8 years or 8 years?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. It was. Was it a natural? You fell in love, and the relationship ran its course.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little more complicated than that. But I always thought I was bisexual. But she knew that I was bisexual. And then I'd had a boyfriend sort of at college before that. And then I fell in love with her and we got married. And I generally thought that was...
So at your wedding, were you like, oh my God, I love her. This is the right thing to do?
Yes.
You were?
Totally.
I always ask my friends who were gay, who had been married, if they knew when they were walking down the aisle.
Not at all.
No, so you just... Yeah.
Yeah. And then after, you know, even after that failed... I then had another relationship with a woman.
I don't think that's a failure.
Well, no, I don't either.
Yeah.
I mean, in a funny sort of way, you know, one of the bad things about seeing my, you know, parents' marriage, I really, 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 really wanted my marriage to succeed.
Right.
Just to prove that
it could work.
That it could be. And yeah. So I probably stuck at it longer than...
Were you... So in your late 20s, you had a nervous breakdown.
Correct.
Which was sort of this perfect storm culmination of like... all the shit you had been through.
Yeah.
To a head.
I really hadn't remembered so much.
Right.
I put my glasses on now because...
Oh, you look hot. And fucking smart. Doesn't he look
so
smart?
Dirty.
Yeah.
They're so dirty.
I hate dirty glasses. You're not supposed to do it on your shirt.
Are you not?
No, you're supposed to use a little...
I don't have my thing. Yeah, you're supposed to be on the face or in the case.
On the face or in the case, that's
what
my
optician says.
So you have this nervous breakdown, but it was sort of like, I guess, this part of your life that you had to go through to move forward.
The nervous breakdown?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think it was actually, I mean, I sort of think about it, the way I describe it is like when you have, it's like a box in your attic with all the things you put there
where
you don't really want or want to look at or want to deal with. And eventually... you have to, otherwise the box explodes,
right.
and you're, and that's what happened to me. I guess so many things that happened to me when I was little, I couldn't deal with. It was too much for me to process and comprehend. So I just pretended they hadn't happened or ignored them. It's a common thing. I think people who have trauma, you just look away and you don't deal with it.
You have all these coping mechanisms,
yes.
And then finally they don't work anymore.
And finally, yeah, and then eventually, I think as an adult. You're starting to think, why am I feeling this way?
Right.
Why am I? Because your mind and your body is sort of saying, we need to deal with this.
How did that change you, that nervous breakdown?
Well, hugely. Mm-hmm. I mean, massively. My entire life changed in a very relatively short time. My entire life changed. My marriage broke up. You know, that was huge. Mm-hmm. And I also was kind of... And right at that time, other things happened in my career. So I was now going to different countries.
I mean, it's amazing. You're having this, like, great career.
Yeah.
And yet you're going crazy, sort of.
And you know what's funny? On the day... So one of the things that happened around that time was I did this James Bond film called GoldenEye. And I on the day that I auditioned for... I remember, like, being just in such a state of emotional and mental, you know, meltdown. And my agent said... And they knew, and they said, you've got this big audition. It's for this James Bond film. You've got to go here on this date. Are you going to be able to do it? I was like, yes. And so I went in. I was like, blah, 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 charming.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom. Fucking nailed it.
Right.
And ultimately got the job. And then I lost 5 hours after that. Like, I came out of it, and I was so drained by having put on such a show of being normal or, you know, like, you know, I hadn't done many auditions for a while because I sort of took some time off to get well, and then I went and I was just so exhausted, and I just was wandering around London, and literally 5 hours later I got home, and I don't remember where I went, what I did.
Right.
It's so fascinating to me that your body can do those things.
Just stop.
But just,
yeah.
Like, you have to stop afterwards. Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff like that, you know, and then like a really great thing that one of the things I'm most proud of is a sitcom I wrote with my friend about flight attendants in a terrible Scottish airline called The High Life. And we'd written that beforehand, but we had to shoot, like, the first job I did when I went back to work after having a breakdown was this sitcom about flight attendants. And I had the best, it was one of the greatest things to sort of go back and do.
How long did it take you to feel normal? Quote unquote, again.
I don't know if I've ever felt normal after that. You know, I think I've I think if you've had mental illness, that you this
I have to no, but I've had a nervous breakdown as well, and right. And it's like you live with the fear that it's going to happen totally. Again.
And I feel like, in a way, I feel that's a gift. That I feel like yeah. I could easily go. Do you know what I mean? I feel like there's certain times when I get a little bit, oh, you better watch out. You better make some changes, get rid of these people, give yourself some space, have a digital fast.
Right.
You know, I think it could easily happen. Not easily, but it's like I feel like life's like a kind of quivering tightrope.
Yeah.
And hopefully everyone just goes over to the other side. But yeah. You know, you could drop off at any minute.
Yeah.
We all could. We see it. You know, we see it with friends and we see it. And I feel, and I can see, and now having gone through it myself and being older, I see signs of it in some of my friends at certain points. And I've got, you know, the red flags go up for me, but also luckily red flags go up for myself.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing about it.
Hey everyone, you know what I just did? I tore, I poured, and I enjoyed a packet of Liquid IV because I love Liquid IV. Liquid IV is a major part of my life. And I just worked out with my trainer and I had a delicious lemon ginger Liquid IV. That one has a little extra. That has a little green tea in it, and so that's a little caffeinated. So I enjoy that because I needed it today. And, you know, it's getting warmer out, and what does that mean? Summer. Oh, God, please come. It can't come soon enough. And that means you have to hydrate. And that's what Liquid IV does. It hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients. And it has 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in one little stick. And that's why Liquid IV is the number one powered hydration brand in America. Okay? And I love it. I use it every day. Ben's basketball team uses it. It is a science-backed formula that works. It keeps you hydrated. And they have sugar-free. They have sugar-free packets in white peach, green grape, raspberry melon, and lemon lime. Okay? I didn't do the sugar-free. Okay. But Elisa does the sugar-free. So what are you going to do? You're going to stay hydrated because it's very, very important. And Liquid IV has been a longtime sponsor, and I love them. And they are a quality product. And this is what you're going to do. You're going to turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's JUDYGOLD. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, can't even say my name, at liquidiv.com. Got it? You're welcome.
So your marriage breaks up. you have other relationships. You know, you have other successful relationships.
Yeah. I actually had two times, I've had really two terrible relationships in my life, or two relationships that ended really badly. And luckily, immediately after both of them, I've had the most beautiful sort of, you know, relationships with two people who I just felt like, I was reminded that there are good people
right.
and that I'm okay and I'm lovable and life can be nice. And so, and both those people are very, very close to me now in my life.
How did you meet Grant?
I met him in New York in 2000 and he's my husband. And, but I didn't start going out with him until 2004. Because I met him because I was shagging.
Because his penis was on the pictures of. No, I'm kidding.
No, I met him because I was shagging his best friend.
Really?
Yes. And so I was shagging his best friend briefly.
Right.
On a sort of a. What do you call it when you've just split up with someone and you have a.
Oh, it's a rebound. Yeah. A rebound, yeah.
And so I met him. I was sort of brought to the best friend's, who's also called Grant, actually. To the best friend's house.
Really?
Yeah.
Who has two friends named Grant that are
Me.
Friends with each other?
I do.
Grant,
when Grant and I got married in New York, yeah, you know, the second time when you could get married in America,
right?
Grant, first Grant, married us.
No way.
Yes.
What does Grant one do?
He's an artist too, and okay, stuff.
So you met Grant.
So I met Grant, and then first Grant and I were, you know, sort of didn't last very long. We're just sort of an affair, and then we became friends. And so over the next couple of years, I was with someone else. But I would see my Grant at parties when I'd invite first Grant, and he says at one time we were at this party, and I flirted with him a couple of times.
Grant
and
too,
And one time I was chatting to him, my Grant, and I had a martini. And this is at this party at the place where Martha Stewart's company is. That's what I always remember. Martha was integral to our relationship. And I had a martini, and someone banged into me, and it sort of slopped onto my arm. And so I licked my arm.
Yeah.
In a provocative manner. And he's always said that he said, you're, in his head, he didn't say it, he goes, "You're flirting with me, Alan Cumming."
Wow.
And I was. And then, then this weird thing happened where I broke up with someone who was really bad for me, really terrible, another bad person.
Right.
And that night, shortly after I broke up, I went out to sort of drown my sorrows about breaking up with this bad person with my ex-girlfriend, the one who I went out with after my wife, who's now married to a woman.
She's really?
She's now Saffron.
You were married to Hillary. Yeah. Saffron Burroughs.
Yeah, she's an actress.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I met, Saffron was in town, so I went out with her to drown my sorrows. I ran into another person I'd had a relationship with called Raven, who I used to have tattooed on my body.
And no way.
Yes. And right at that moment when I saw Raven, I said, "Can I have an American Spirit yellow?" And I immediately started smoking again.
Mm-hmm.
And then later that night, I ran into Grant and I had a one-night stand with him.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's Grant too.
My Grant now.
Yeah.
And then we never talked about it for a year and a half. We saw each other a few times, never talked about it. And then we had this really amazing moment in Barracuda. Have you ever been to Barracuda, the bar on 22nd Street?
Ugh, I have no life. I go out and do stand-up every fucking night and I never go out. Yeah, so I've heard of Barracuda, yeah.
So it's a little gay bar in Chelsea. Yeah. Such fun. And I was with my then boyfriend Rob, who's one of the nice ones. Like Saffron and Rob are the two people that kind of made me feel life was beautiful again.
Mm-hmm.
And I was with him and I saw Grant and we both went, "Remember that night we had together? Yeah, I can't talk about it right now. I'm with my now boyfriend."
Right.
And then the following summer when I came back So Grant number one had a place upstate, and I went there after 9/11, and that's why I have now my house in the Catskills, because I went with them and there was some land.
Wait, Catskills. Shit. Fuck this fucking thing. I hate this. I'm not entering passcode.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, shit. Fuck. Okay, Catskills, yeah.
Maybe that's...
Fuck this piece of shit. Know, fuck!
Right? There you go.
Okay, thank you.
And so I was having a housewarming for my new place that I'd built. And Grant down the hill, number one, was having a 4th of July thing. So I had a joint 4th of July housewarming party. And I said, "Who are you bringing? Who have you invited?" And he said, "Grant, my Grant."
Grant too.
And I felt a funny,
ping.
A funny feeling in my tummy.
You felt a...
Yes.
Yes.
And then so that's when we got together.
Now, Cabaret.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you've heard of that show. You've done it twice.
Actually, I've done
three
it.
Three times,
I've actually done it four times.
Okay, you've done it four times. One, two, three, four.
Because once I played Cliff in Repertory in Scotland in 1922.
Great, Judy. You've done it at two different, very different times of your life.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
so...
I did the MC three times.
Yeah. Like, you're so fucking great at that. I mean, that character is so sexual, and it's so, I guess, fluid, sexually fluid.
Yes.
Would you agree?
Yes, I would.
The first time you did it, you hadn't come out, correct? You...
Well, I was still married then.
Yes, you were married to a woman, and yet people questioned. And you know, I read that you actually came out so you could beat the British press. And also you know, sort of protect Grant and his family and your family?
No, it wasn't Grant's family. No, it was long before Grant's.
Fuck Judy. Okay.
Yeah, no. Now, what happened was...
Stupid. Okay.
No, it's an interesting thing, though, about, you know, about...
The British press is evil,
fucking
correct?
Awful. I mean, literally, I've had people go through my trash. Like, literally go through my trash.
Right.
Go to my neighbors, go to my mom. It's called door stopping, you know, when they try to push the door open to me.
No way.
My ex-wife, my ex-girl. I mean, like...
What is wrong with them?
I don't know. Rupert Murdoch, I think, is probably the biggest thing.
He's a fucking asshole.
But you know, it's an interesting thing. Like, if you've always thought of yourself as bisexual and you're la la la, and then you become famous and you're in a relationship with someone, and then all of a sudden, I mean, really, for me, when I started to have a relationship with a man, was the time, and I realized what could happen press wise. And the way that things were going and everyone's talking, that's when I thought, well, I want to take control of it and talk about it how I feel about
it. And on your terms.
On my terms, and also not to make sure that he or his family didn't get affected, mm-hmm. And my family too, adversely. So it's an interesting thing, like when I was sort of single and kind of, you know, mm-hmm. mingling around that time in my life, I sort of thought, well, should I do a press release? You know, fucked a couple of boys this weekend.
What
am I going to do?
I know, it's ridiculous.
Yes, yes. But that was what people were asking of me. And I was like, well, I'm not quite sure what you want me to say.
Right.
But it was an interesting time as well, because in America at that time, you know, it was just after the Clinton scandal. And so everyone was so prurient, and everyone was like obsessed with sex.
You know, it's so interesting that whole impeachment was about, like, Kenneth Starr, obsessed with the sex.
Sex.
And this guy is a fucking criminal. Liar. And he's still there. And, like, I would rather be talking about a blowjob between consenting adults than this, what
he's
doing.
And all the terrible things are happening. And the hatred is what...
Yeah.
Because it's just, like, what I feel like... Hopefully he's going to go soon, but actually, what his legacy will be for generations. We're going to have to try and educate people not to be hateful.
Right? He's a disgusting.
He's such a fucking pig. Yeah. Anyway,
you endorsed. You're very political. Okay.
Yes.
You've said something about marriage. You said marriage is a failed institution. It really is. Over 50% of people get divorced, and yet gay people want to get married, but it doesn't have to be in that sort of...
Old structure.
Yes, that structure.
So I think actually what's really interesting about marriage now, I think, and what I think is a beautiful gift that gay people can maybe give to straight people, is to show that you can have a marriage that is a true marriage of two people who want to commit to each other and love each other and... make a life together that all those things are not predestined and dependent on you not having sex with another person.
Right.
And that's why I think same-sex marriages have got it
better.
So, I just think there's many more... I've always thought there's many more ways you can betray someone than having sex with someone else.
Yeah.
And I think that in same-sex coupling, it is much more prevalent for there to be... sexual relations outside of that couple, and maybe perhaps with another. Seriously,
she's out of her fucking mind. Yeah,
and also like maybe within the coupling,
right?
And I think that's something that is, if you stop having sex as the deal breaker for a relationship, I think you have a much richer relationship.
Yeah, you did. You were the MC, and then you met Liza.
I did. That's right. I met Liza when I was just opened on Broadway.
And she came to your room, dressing room, tiny dressing room.
Yeah,
and she was smelling your
In my towel.
Yeah.
No, what happened was. So she came in. She came in with Fred Ebb, you know.
Now, and this is the first time. Yeah, duh.
I've never met her.
Okay, hold on. Fuck this phone. Okay. Fred Ebb, Candor and Ebb. Okay.
So she came in with Fred, and so you know, Natasha Richardson, you had to do this thing on Broadway, which I didn't understand it. If a star comes that is connected with the show, you've got to invite them on the stage.
Right. Oh, really?
Like both. Liza, I guess it's with Cabaret, I suppose, right. It's more pertinent, but both Liza and when Joel Grey came, we had to invite them on the stage.
Right.
And say, I had to say a thing about, you know, Joel Grey and everything, and she had to do a thing about Liza, and so Liza came on, and then she came to our dressing rooms afterwards, and she came into...
Were you freaking out?
Freaking out, can you imagine?
Right.
And also I got so nervous all the night during the performance, because Tasha Richardson would say... So Liza's going to come up on the stage. I'm like, what? I didn't know you did that. She goes, yes, you've got to invite her. It's what they do here.
Right.
And then she goes, so I'm going to invite her up. And I go, okay. And she goes, and if she goes on too long, you've got to get her off. I was like, me? What do you mean? What's she going to do? So I was terrified. And then she was upstairs with Tasha and she came down to my room with Fred. And yes.
Sorry.
And the first thing she ever said to me was, Alan, I want to be your friend forever.
No. Are you friends?
Yes. Yes, we are. And then then Fred came in and it was so difficult to talk to him. Mm-hmm. And I realized that life
because the room is tiny.
So small. And there's a sort of a little hooks with some towels on it. And like Liza's pushed into my towel like this. And I went, oh my God, Liza, you're practically sniffing my towels here. So, you know, it's such a tiny room. I'm so sorry because I was hugging Fred. Right. She got pushed out the way and she went, Alan, I would sniff your towels any day.
Oh. Yeah. Are you? And you're really close. Like, yeah, could you call her right now?
I could, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, obviously.
No, but, I know, yeah, but I just...
No, but I actually text her pictures of my dog and what I'm doing and stuff quite a lot because she lives in LA now. She's not, you know, she's not in great health.
Right.
But she loves my dog, Lala. She,
right.
Once when I was... making a film in LA a few years ago and I used to take Lala to visit her and she has these dogs and her dogs she was like when I go to see her we usually sit on the bed and watch Turner Classic Movies and just chat.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And like so Lala was running around being chased by her dogs and at one point they were all like doing that kind of thing where they're about to go, you know, they're about to go and running.
Yeah.
And then Liza went, go Liza, go. I mean Lala.
Go Lala, go.
Yeah, and it was so cute. It was almost like she wanted to be Lala being chased by the boys.
Oh, so, I love her.
So charming.
Hey everyone. I love our sponsor, Fast Growing Trees. I don't know if you've noticed when we show the clips of the podcast that I have a new best friend in my office named Avi. And where did I get Avi? At Fast Growing Trees. Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States of America. And I am a happy customer. I love walking in this room and seeing my fig tree, Avi. I talk to Avi. I love it. It makes me happy. And you need plant life in your house. And I have another plant on my piano in the other room. I'm just telling you, it makes your home so much more of a home. So thank you to Fast Growing Trees. They have everything you could possibly want. They have fruit trees. They have palm trees. They have evergreens. They have houseplants and so much more. And I'm in an apartment in New York. Okay? I don't even have a yard outside. And it's changed my life. Do it. Go to Fast Growing Trees. And whatever you're interested in, they have it. They have the perfect fit for your climate, for your space. You can call them and ask them how to take care of your plants. They have so much information. And it's so easy to order online. Your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. They have a 30-day alive and thrive guarantee. They have free plant consultation forever. Forever. And I have a new best friend, Avi. I love you, Avi. So do it. You don't need a yard. You don't need a lot of space. You just need to make your home a beautiful place. And that's where Fast Growing Trees comes in. This spring, Fast Growing Trees has the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code JUDYGOLD. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Do it. You're welcome.
You are such an advocate for equality, for LGBTQRSTUVXYZ rights. You were you endorsed Sanders in the 2016 election.
I did, yes.
And what do you, I mean, look, it's, I don't know what the fuck is going on in this country. What, who are you going to endorse? I had a fucking tequila and I can't even fucking say a sentence. Who are you going to endorse for,
well,
it's
so interesting because, you know, when it
isn't
was...
Wait, can I just say how sad it is? Like, it's sad.
What is it?
What's going on? That's, what the fuck
country,
is going on?
I mean, seriously, I think in this country right now that, you know, members of Congress stormed yesterday.
Oh, my God.
A secret, you know, a classified hearing,
fucking,
breaking the law.
They're like,
nobody goes
in and
says, they should be fucking arrested.
Yeah.
Like, the subpoenas are being ignored. You know, it's lawlessness. It's
right.
happening at the highest level of things. Like, Trump is, as his message and his ethos is making people behave and all this. And, like, I think, you know, I'm exhausted.
It is exhausting.
I feel like in this country now, everyone is just shouting at each other. Everyone's shouting.
Yeah, and everyone's in a bad mood. Everyone's irritable. Like, when I started reading your book, I said, I'm not gonna watch Rachel. I'm not gonna do any. I'm gonna when
Rachel
I go
Ray.
Home. No, Rachel Maddow.
Oh, Maddow. Okay,
but she's not Jewish, but she should be. But I was like, I'm gonna go home and read. You know. And I woke up better. I it's like this psycho.
Yeah. I know.
It's horrible. Who so
this culture of just,
yeah.
I mean, you feel you've. Well, every morning I get up and I look at my phone and think, what bad things
yes.
happened?
Yeah. What did he do? What did a fucking asshole do now?
But
so
I think the worst thing is that the worst thing to me is that, you know, we're all shouting at each other. Nobody's listening.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever going to change their mind when you shout at them.
Right.
And so we've got to just try and be kinder. I know that sounds sort of Oprah-ish, but
hashtag grateful.
Actually, it's. But actually,
have you met Oprah?
Yes, but actually, you've got to.
Are you friends with her? Do you have her phone number in your? Do you have her phone number?
I have her email.
Wow, is it a good email?
I can't tell you.
I know, but I just.
But
all right.
It is really good.
Is it creative?
Yes.
All right, good.
But,
I love Gail.
Love Gail.
I love. No, that's her email. I love Gail at gmail.com. Sorry.
But
yeah,
I do really feel like, you know, for me, the biggest villains in this situation are the Republicans who are
ugh.
Not doing anything, who are
and
turning
they're horrible.
Eye,
yeah.
And they're like just allowing this to happen. And hopefully they will be the ones for generations who will be
right.
Paying the price for this because they have allowed this to happen. You know, we've marched and we've done all these things and we fight and we just tweet and we do all this stuff
right.
But actually they have the power and they have chosen to turn their backs on decency to allow this bigot
right.
to triumph.
Oh, he's disgusting.
And I just think when is going to come the point where they're all going to go, oh my gosh, look, he's such a terrible bigot.
Oh my God, they know already, don't you think?
Of course they do.
So who do you want?
Here's what I think. I am
okay.
I love Bernie, but age.
Fuck
Jew.
Shit. Okay.
Can I do some more? Because I do love him.
Yeah.
I'm going to see.
Isn't
something.
It fun?
There's
okay.
not so nice about him. I just don't think a man that age who's had a heart attack should be the president.
Right.
I think ageism, I mean, ageism is a problem, but age is an issue
right.
for the president of the United States of
uh-huh.
America. Look at the one we've got now. He's
ugh.
Fucking old and lost it. I mean,
he's
aside from all his bigoted
asshole.
Views, part
yeah.
of his problem is he is obviously a man, an old man, displaying dementia or, you know, mental,
oh my God.
Losing his mental faculties.
Does he remind you of your father? Because he's
some ways
so
he does.
Abusive
in some ways
and narcissistic.
He does.
Yeah.
Like, not the losing the faculties, but just the sort of the lack of empathy for anything.
And none.
The bullying.
Yeah.
And the absolute... and also he's charismatic.
Yeah.
And my father was very charismatic. Yeah. So yes, there is a thing there. But I sort of think I want it to be... I would like it to be Elizabeth Warren for president of the United States of America.
Yes.
Is she Jewish?
No, but yeah, I just wanted her. Okay.
And I think someone like... I don't think I love Kamala Harris, but I don't think she should be... I think my... I've been big on Pete Buttigieg. I've supported him. Okay. I've been big on a few of them. But I think, seriously, the way to win radically, is Elizabeth Warren and Cory Booker.
Yes! I love that.
He's not a Jew.
No, but he's from Newark, and I was born in Bethesda.
You know what? I just did a TV series with Rosario Dawson, and so she'd be FaceTiming in the mornings on makeup.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, "Hi, Cory, how are you?" And I remember seeing at a very...
Yeah, I do that too.
I said, like, God, it must be so... Like, running for president of the United States, you must get so many air miles.
He's hot. But I have two last questions.
Right. Thank you, Nambri.
Well, I ask all my guests this two questions. I'm very into mental health. And anything, like therapy, I'm very, you know... So are you on any antidepressants?
No.
Really? Have you ever?
No.
Shit. You know, I gained so much weight on Paxil. I can't even... never.
I've never been...
And you went through a fucking mental breakdown and didn't go on... God bless you.
Actually, nobody offered... I know. Nobody offered me them either. Actually, I think maybe... What's that one called? That novel. What's it called?
Prozac.
Yes.
Prozac, yeah.
Prozac was mentioned, and I just was like, no. Right. Yes, I've never been on antidepressants.
Wow. My final question. Now, I am a cockeyed optimist, even though everyone thinks I'm the most negative human being.
I don't think that about you at all.
Oh, really?
I think you're an incredibly optimistic person.
Oh, I love you so much. I mean, I wouldn't do what I do if I didn't think positive. All right. But I am angry. I get so annoyed at people because I'm like, you're dumb. You're like, don't look at your phone on the way up the fucking stairs in the subway. Like, don't do it. Like, I'm going somewhere and you're like, I can't. People and incompetence and just dumb. What makes you fucking angry? What makes you crazy? That's why we call it Kill Me Now, because I feel like I say Kill Me Now all the time. But.
So one of the things that makes me crazy is that American people call that long thing that's like a chair that's not quite a sofa, they call it a chaise lounge.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's a fucking chaise longue, people. It's a long chair. It's a chaise longue.
It's chaise longue?
And they've spelled that they've missed, put the O and the U round and called it lounge because they think of the lounge chairs. It's chaise longue is the thing. And that drives me nuts. And also
the way
that American people pronounce croissant.
Why? How do you say croissant?
Croissant.
Say it again.
Croissant.
Croissant.
Croissant. But like croissant.
I know, right.
No, I just want... So that's, I think American people's bad pronunciation of French words drives me fucking nuts.
So chaise longue.
Oh, Notre Dame is on fire.
I was like, fuck you people.
Yeah.
It's Notre Dame. Anyway, blah, blah.
Chaise longue.
It's a chaise longue, yeah.
I'm going to say that next time I go to room and board or something.
It's not a lounge chair.
So if I went in and said, I'm looking for a chaise longue.
Depends where you were. If you're in New Jersey, they'd be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Or if you're in America, they'd say, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But if it was my shop, I would say, I've got the very thing for you, madam.
Oh my God, I love you. You are an angel from heaven. How do you want to be remembered? How do you want people to remember you?
You know, I'd love if Club Cumming was my legacy, because I feel like...
Oh my God, I fucking love this
I really
place.
Do like feel like Club Cumming is my greatest artistic achievement. It's like something I wanted to have a feeling and a spirit, and like for people would come and they would be... You know, there would obviously be great shows. It's obviously a great hub of
artistic
thing. But also just the spirit of kindness that's here that I think would be a lovely legacy. Just I'm the coming in Club Cumming.
And you spell it the right way.
Thank you.
Yeah. I have loved you for so long, and this is such a dream come true. I want to cry right now. Such a dream come true to be able to talk to you this evening.
It's actually lovely to spend this time, time with you,
God,
Judy.
Oh, my God, I love you.
We always see each other at galas or whatever, or drinks.
I love him.
Shall we sing happy birthday to Beth?
I was just thinking that. I think we kind of have to.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Beth. Happy birthday to you. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you to Alan Cumming. Beth Sussman, you are a fucking angel. Good night, everybody.
Good night,
and thanks. As we always say, so long!
And everything was wonderful. I'll see you soon. Thank you for the visit. So long.